Pleasant good morning to each of you. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll be starting there in just a moment. Glad that you're here and the encouragement that we can be to one another. This year we have been working with a congregational theme, I will do more in 2024, and our year is almost over. God's blessed us with life for another year, a year that we might serve Him. How have you been doing with that theme? It's not too late to start, or even to do more than you already have. I want to focus our thoughts in the lesson this morning on our effort. My life before preaching was teaching music to junior high school students. But the truths I'm about to relate apply very well to all athletics, mathematics, spelling, writing, virtually everything in life. Learning to play a musical instrument is difficult. If it were easy, everybody would do it. In the back of the band hall where I work, we had a banner that stretched all the way across the back wall. And in letters that were 2 foot tall, it said, "Success is spelled hard work." And we worked hard in that band hall to be successful. I can easily recall hundreds of 45-minute class periods where we would work on 16 measures of music to get it right. I can remember many times we'd be working with students and they would mutter something or they would say it loudly, "I can't do it." I said, "Yes, you can. You just can't do it yet." And they would end up being able to do it. I want to say at the beginning of this lesson that Scripture is very clear that we are saved by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." We can read this principle in many places. Titus chapter 2 and 11, for example, says, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Or Romans 3 and 24, "We're justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." Man could do nothing to cause God to owe us salvation. No amount of good works or obedience will cause us alone to be saved. God chooses and desires to save us. It's His gift to us. But Scripture also speaks of man's part in our salvation. Look again in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." My lesson today is not focused on God's grace. But nothing I say ignores God's grace or denies God's grace in our salvation. I want to focus on our effort. James 2 and 17 says, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." God says there is a work that we should be doing. There's a work that we must walk in while in this physical life. James 1 and verse 22 says, "To prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." I've spoken from that verse every week this year. If you've been receiving the midweek encouragement and you've been listening to the audio files, it's in every one of those references. And I hope you recognize that verse very well. To prove yourself a doer of the word speaks of my effort. Not doing the word means I've deluded myself and I'm not right with God. I'm not pleasing Him. Yes, we need to rely on God's grace, but He's told us how we're supposed to walk. So I'd like you to think with me for a few moments about our effort. Because the Christian life is not effortless. You may have heard the phrase, "Let go and let God." It's fairly common in our culture. Many who claim to be Christians will say this to us. And I suspect many don't know the origins or the meanings of this phrase, but state it as an attempt to encourage someone to trust in God. The meaning behind this phrase finds its roots in what is called the Keswick theology that sprung up in the middle to late 1800s, where Christians were seeking to attain a higher spiritual life by passivity, where one deliberately did nothing. A person just rested in the power of God in order to allow the Holy Spirit to work through them. This is completely and wholly unbiblical false teaching that will result in condemnation from God if practiced. We should not repeat this phrase to anyone. So look with me in your Bible at 2 Peter chapter 1 as we demonstrate the truth of that principle and make some application in our life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning in verse 5. Scripture says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence," applying all diligence, that's the New American Standard. The English Standard, the New Living Translation, the NIV, the Christian Standard, the International Standard, the Net Bible, they all say, make every effort. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." Nowhere in this passage is the idea of let go and let God. But even more, nowhere is the idea of doing a little bit or just enough or a level of effort that satisfies me or someone else. All diligence, verse 5, includes the concept of practice, verse 10. Not the concept of trying to learn to do something, but the actual doing of it, as in the phrase, "the doctor practices medicine." That's how that's being used here. The Christian practices diligence in these things. My effort is required by God. The word diligence, Mr. Strong says, means speed. That is, by implication, dispatch, eagerness, earnestness, diligence, forwardness. There's some other passages that speak of diligence this way. I'm not going to look at all of them, but just a few quickly. In 2 Peter 3 and in verse 14, Scripture says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless." Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." I'm not lagging behind, I'm not lacking diligence, but rather I'm fervent in spirit, literally meaning hot or to boil, referring to the attitude of zeal that motivates and drives my service to the Lord. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, it says to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Hebrews 6 and 11 says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I'm supposed to be diligent, not sluggish. Effort is required for the Christian in many aspects of our life that are spoken of in Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 22 with me very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 22, it says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been corrupted, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Laying aside and putting on is about my effort. That's not something God did for me. I have to do it. You have to do it. When we first become a Christian, we're likely very focused on laying aside the old self. I've got to stop this sin I've been involved in. That's a focus for a lot of new converts. And not long after that, or perhaps even during that same period of time, I'm working on putting on the new self. I have to start doing these things that God says I'm supposed to be doing. When we were babes in Christ, we did lots of works to grow up. All of us did. We put forth effort to change our lives, to remove sin, to establish healthy spiritual habits and practices that God wanted us to do. But then for a lot of Christians, everything just stops. Growth stops. Diligence about such things stops. Our fervency to serve God stops. I've known a lot of Christians that could be described as spiritually sluggish, lagging behind in diligence, asleep. We know the truth of God. We want to please Him. But are we putting forth the effort that He desires? Now, this concept's not just for the babe in Christ. It's for all of us, the weak and the strong, the babes and the mature. I return to James chapter 1. Just before we find the phrase, prove yourselves doers of the word, we read in James 1 and 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls. Please notice in verse 19, this is written to Christians, beloved brethren, that had filthiness and wickedness that still remained, that had not been diligent in being the doer of the word. So perhaps if we have been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, I still need diligence in being this doer of the word, to remove all this filthiness and wickedness that might remain in my life. My effort is lifelong. How much effort are we putting toward accomplishing this? How hard are we working at being the doer of the word? Ephesians 6 speaks of our effort, telling us to put on the full armor of God and stand fast against the devil. Romans 14 and verse 19 speaks of our effort, saying that we pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. Luke 13 and verse 24, Jesus speaks of our effort when He says, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Let go and let God. Absolutely not biblical. Be a Christian and don't work to purify yourself. absolutely not biblical. Be a Christian and don't work to encourage your fellow saints. Absolutely not biblical. Be a Christian and do nothing. Absolutely not biblical. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Everyone is to be diligent in doing God's work. If you've been a Christian much longer than others, it should be obvious in your character, in your works that you practice, and the things that you pursue. Zeal is visible and it's felt. My second point. Growing in godliness is a fight of faith. We've all likely seen two people physically fight. And many of us have probably been in a fight. Do you have siblings like I did? People who are really fighting, not just a spat, but they want to hurt the other person. When they're really fighting, there is a 100% effort in the attack, in their hitting, in their kicking and pushing. They desire very strongly to subdue that other person. Their face is turned red from exertion. Breathing becomes very labored, very quickly. The degree of effort is so intense, most fights don't last very long. Even in boxing, they limit it to a 3-minute round. We say of someone, all the fight's gone out of them, meaning that they're exhausted to the point they can't fight anymore. Physical exhaustion can happen within 3 minutes, but sometimes it's more of a lack of will or lack of zeal or lack of effort. So look with me at the language in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 26. Paul says, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I box in such a way as not beating the air. This is not pretend boxing. I'm not working on my moves and I'm not working on the speed of my jab in the air. He's speaking of boxing for real. It's a fight that requires great effort. In this context, the great effort is in disciplining my body and making it my slave. Forcing it to be my slave. My desire, my zeal to do the will of God has to be stronger than my body that might want to do something else and sin. Can we really say that we're in the fight if we're doing nothing? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. That's a message that's not just for the evangelist Timothy or the young evangelist. It's for every Christian. Verse 11 says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Pursue is about my effort. Brethren, we're in a fight. Examine yourself about your level of effort. Read with me again in Romans chapter 6, and this time in verse 12. Romans 6 and in verse 12. Scripture says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Do not let sin reign. That's about my choice and my effort. Parents understand this all too well. I will not let my child misbehave. You ever heard parents say something like that? We had that kind of conversation. I'm not going to let my child misbehave. That's about my choice. But it's also about my effort. I'm not going to let them. I'm going to discipline them. I'm going to train them. Sometimes that takes a lot more effort depending upon the attitude of the child. Do not let sin reign means I'm going to choose to please God so I cannot sin. My involvement in some specific sin may require much more effort for me to stop. My habits of sin may require that I be retrained in my righteousness and change my habits. And all of us know that takes effort. Lust are things that appeal to the body that cannot be a part of if we want to please God. The appeal differs from person to person. There are some lusts that are common to all people. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man." Whatever lust I may be experiencing, I'm not alone or unique in this. Others find fleshly appeal in sin as well. So no matter how strong the appeal is, it's still my choice and my strong effort that will not let sin reign in my body. I will not obey its lusts. So my mind has to rule over my body. Secondly, in verse 13, this passage says, present yourselves. Absolutely, my choice and my effort. I present myself to God. I choose to serve Him, not to stop sinning and do nothing, but to stop sinning and serve. My members of my body are instruments of righteousness to God. My choice and my effort. Proverbs 6 and verse 18 speaks of feet that run rapidly to evil. And Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20 speaks of walking in the way of righteousness. I need to present my feet as instruments of righteousness to God. Feet that are not allowed to take me to places I should not be. Feet that take me to worship assemblies, to my neighbor's home to check on their health. Feet that take me to the fellow Christian's home to encourage them. Feet that help me to do good works. We could say the same thing of my hands, and my mouth, and my eyes, and my mind. To present myself to God speaks of my being fully in His service, in subjection to Him to do whatever He says. My choice and my effort are completely involved in fighting the good fight. Is that the way it is with you? The last point from my lesson comes from Philippians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Scripture says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God working in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." I have to work out my own salvation. I cannot be saved without God's grace, but there's work I have to do. I have to work to do God's good pleasure, all the things that please Him. Colossians 1 and verse 10 says to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you fear God with trembling because of His glory and of His greatness? Does this impact our effort to try to please Him? It certainly should. Hebrews 4 and verse 11 says that we're supposed to strive to enter that rest. The King James there says to labor to enter that rest. The word here translated strive or labor means to use speed, that is, make effort. Yes, we're saved by God's grace, but I'm supposed to be busy working and making effort to please God in all things. Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. My choice and my effort. Now look at Philippians chapter 3. If you were open to chapter 2, look at chapter 3 and in verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Do we? In Mark chapter 12, a scribe came to Jesus and asked him a question in verse 28. What commandment is foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. What does it mean I'm supposed to love God with all my strength? Well, Hebrews 12 and verse 12 says to strengthen the hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. That's about my effort. Mr. Thayer in his lexicon here in Hebrews 12, 12 says this Greek word means strength, refers to ability, force, strength, and might. I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my ability, all my power, all my might? Yes. Absolutely yes. Brethren, if you've not been serving God with all your strength, you need to repent. You need to change your walk. We've all heard music students play an instrument not very well, and none of us would probably say, that's a musician. And yet some people put forth what I would describe as crummy effort and still want to call themselves a Christian. Acts 15 and verse 8 says God knows our heart. We can't deceive Him. We can't hide from Him. You know your own effort as I know mine. You know whether you're living righteously before God. Repentance alone is not enough. I encourage you to take this lesson, perhaps as a pivot point in your life, to begin doing more than you have in the past. Not because I presented a sermon, but because you could see the truth in Scripture, which we've examined. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost to repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. And with many other words, He solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. By God's grace, He sent Jesus and the promise of forgiveness through Him. If we're in Christ, we can be saved. There was something these people had to do to be saved, to repent of their sin and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says that we are baptized into Christ. Other passages teach us of our need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and to confess Him before men. If you've not done these things, you must in order to be saved. God's grace comes to us in Christ Jesus. And if we don't obey what God says, we will not be saved. As James 2 said, faith without works is dead. I will do more in 2024 and every year after this. That's the scriptural truth. I have to be growing in my faith and in my works. I have to be active in doing God's will to please Him. If you see in your life the need to respond to God's invitation, we encourage you to come forward now. Let's stand and let's sing together.